So I don't know about you, but probably there's been some quiet moments in the past week where maybe you've asked these two questions. What just happened and what is ahead? I know that these have been questions that we've been talking about here. What is happening? What just happened? What did we just see? What just took place? And what's around the corner? Well, how long is this going to last? What is ahead? Of course, nobody knows the answers to these questions. Well, at least the second. Actually, we're still debating on the first question as well. And depending on which news channel you dial into, you're going to get a different perspective, a different truth, so to speak, on whose fault it is, or why it happened, or where it came from, and it's just at never ending. And God only knows. We're all wondering. And so for a few minutes here this morning, I'd encourage you in your brain, switch off the news feed and put your focus on the truth of God's word, on the scriptures this morning. This is our moment to do this, and hopefully you've been doing that every day, now that you've had especially a little extra time on your hands. And as strange as it may sound, the chapter in Exodus that we're going to look at today answers these two questions. It addresses these two questions, which I just find stunning in the fact that, again, it was laid out months ago that I was going to be preaching from Exodus chapter 15 today, and I'm just amazed at God's timing and his sovereignty over even this for the preaching of the message at Alliance Community Church this morning. So we have been in the book of Exodus, if I can get my. There we go. We've been in the book of Exodus now for a while. It's the second book in the Bible. It's the second of five books that Moses wrote. It's the account of God's people being delivered from slavery in Egypt. Last week in chapter 14, we read about how God led Moses and the people of Israel straight into a roadblock. I don't know if you remember that from last week, but God led them to a roadblock. They were stuck between a rock and a hard place. They were stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. And do you remember how the people of Israel, who had just seen the 10 plagues and had been led by a cloud of fire, or a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, do you remember how they responded? It says that they were terrified. And then they started complaining against Moses. They would rather be back in Egypt than and in slavery rather than on their way to wherever God had for them next. So they hit that roadblock. And then that led Moses to a point of recalculation. What was he going to do? Was he going to cave to the complaints of the people of Israel, or was he going to stand in faith? And we know from the passage from the scripture last week in Exodus 14 that he stood in faith. He recalculated and chose faith over fear. He said, "Don't be afraid, stand firm. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still," is what Moses told the people. And so in that moment, then God made a roadway straight through the sea. And it was a roadway of salvation for Israel and a roadway of judgment for Egypt. The enemy was defeated, and the people's response was reverence. It says that they feared the Lord and they trusted in him. And that's where we left off then at the end of chapter 14. For today, we're going to be actually in chapter 15, which is the first song recorded in the Bible. We're going to just cover verses 1 through 18 this morning. And it's the song of Moses as they're standing there on the eastern shore of the Red Sea, having just gone through that, and as the bodies of the dead Egyptians are washing up on shore, this song actually captures the essence of the two questions that I shared with you earlier. What just happened, and what is ahead? They're kind of at an in-between moment in the story of God's deliverance for them. And so before we actually dive into this chapter, I would like to stop and again pray. I don't want to take for granted the moment that we have ahead of us here. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that in these moments, you would teach us from your holy scriptures, that you would teach us endurance. and that you would give us encouragement that we desperately need so that we might have hope in you. And so I pray that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive what it is that this ancient song has to teach us today. May your Holy Spirit illuminate your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first bit here, Exodus 15, 1 through 12, it answers the question of what just happened. It's looking back on the events that, you know, we're not exactly sure how much time was written between the time when, you know, the waters covered over the Egyptians and then Moses and Israel sang this song. Was it an hour? Was it 10 minutes? I don't know. But Moses and the Israelites sang this song. Chapter 15. Verses 1 through 12 reads this way. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. So what just happened? I think there's three things. The first thing is that we see, at least according to the song, that God's power was unleashed. You see there in verse 6, your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Verse 7, you unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. The blast of your nostrils, by the blast of your nostrils, the water piled up. It was like a wall. It congealed in the heart of the sea. You blew on them with your breath, and the sea covered them. In verse 10, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. God's power was unleashed. All of these descriptions of God, that his breath, his hand, I guess those are the two that I'm seeing here. Those are called anthropomorphisms. They're human attributes given to God. It's not like God has a right hand. He doesn't have an arm. God is spirit. He's not physical. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't breathe. And yet these are the characteristics that Moses is using as he's writing this, as he's singing this, to describe what God has done. So God's power was unleashed. Secondly, God's enemy was defeated. There in verse 1, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. Verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. Not the weakest of Pharaoh's officers, but the best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. They sank like a stone verse 5. Verse 6, your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. That enemy was not only defeated, he was shattered. Verse 7, he threw down those who opposed you. In verse 9, we reread of the boasts of the enemy, but they end up being empty boasts. Verse 10, they sank like lead. Verse 12, the earth swallows the enemies. So what just happened? God's enemy was defeated. The third thing that happened is God's glory was revealed. And reminder, what is God's glory? Well, it's his attributes that are on display. Moses sings of God's strength and him being a defense and his salvation there in verse 2. He points to the glory of that God is a warrior in verse 3. He points out the greatness of his majesty in verse 7. And then verse 11 kind of pulls it all together. Who is like God? He's majestic in holiness. He's awesome in glory. He works wonders. This is God's glory revealed. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? And of course, the answer is no one. No one is like our God. So what just happened? Well, God made himself known to Egypt and to Israel. And it was an incredible, stunning revelation that they witnessed there. Israel lived to tell about it. Egypt, of course, did not. And so we might be asking this same question in the midst of the crisis that we're in. Of course, it's not the same situation that Israel faced, but there are some similarities. They were through the crisis, whereas we're still in the midst of it. It's as if we're still walking through the trouble. But once we reach the shore of safety, and someday we will, which may be weeks or months or years from now. I mean, no, again, nobody knows. But once we do reach the shore of safety, we will look back and we will see how Almighty God was at work among us. We may not recognize it or be able to see it now, but we will see it once we get to the other side. God is sovereign. He controls all things. He has allowed this virus to sweep our planet. And what the enemy intended for harm, God intended for good. That's Genesis chapter 50. That's straight from the story of Joseph. God's power is limitless. And he's working all things out for the good of those who love him, including what the events are happening right now. We may not see his right hand as clearly as Israel did, but make no mistake, God is at work. He is delivering his people. He's bringing redemption to those who are lost in the darkness, even now. And so we can look around us and see how the gods of this world have been put in check during this crisis. Think about it for just a moment. A month ago, if you would have told me that the gods of the sports world would be in check today, you'd say I was crazy. But guess what? The sports world is at a halt today. Entertainment has come to a halt. Our illusion of safety and control has been shattered. The gods of travel, our addiction to work, the workaholics, our misunderstanding and our misperception that church is about a building, all of those gods have been put in check for this moment. The gods of our schedule, our busyness, our calendar, the freedom that in some regards we take for granted and maybe even worship in some ways, all of those things have been put in check. If we've relied on our economy, that has also been put in check. God reigns over all these things. And so we will look back and we will see God's glory revealed in these times. There will be thousands of stories of marriages that have been restored because we've been forced to be together and figure out a new rhythm. All of our other distractions are gone. We have to come together as a family. Families are going to be restored. Marriages are going to be healed. The church, I heard it described yesterday, the church has been like a tube of toothpaste. It's been squeezed and now it's forced out of the building. God's glory is going to be revealed. We're not going to trust in ourselves, but we're being forced now to trust in God. And this is a good thing. This may even spark some sort of revival. To God be the glory. That's what just happened. Well, let's move on. What's ahead? Well, thankfully, the Song of Moses tells us. It's verses 15 through 17. And it's the question that Moses and Israel asked as they sang this song. Follow along with me. Moses sings, verse 13, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by. Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. So, what is ahead? Well, the first thing I could like to point out is that what's ahead is, at least for Israel at that point, God's love will lead them. It's there in verse 13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. It's an unfailing love. God's love, his care and affection for his people, it's everlasting. It's unmerited. It's compassionate. It's pure. It's holy. God will lead us like a good shepherd leads his sheep. He'll lead them to green pastures, to quiet waters. That's his promise to Moses and Israel. What else does he promise? What else is ahead? Well, that God's strength will guide. That's also there in verse 13. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. In verse 17, you will bring them and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. God is going to guide, like the good shepherd. He's going to use his strength to guide this group of people who don't want to go God's way, but he's going to use his strength to guide them. How strong is God? Well, he's infinitely strong. His strength is limitless. And his power, according to verse 16, the power of his arm, will guide them past their enemies. What else is ahead? Well, God's plan will prevail. God's plan will prevail. The plans of Philistia and Edom and Moab and Canaan, which are the nations through which they will some have to travel as well as be surrounded by as they enter the land that God promised them. The leaders of those countries, their plans are not going to prevail. God's plan is going to prevail. He's promised it here, and they are singing about it. God's plan will prevail. He will triumph. A couple days ago, getting a little stir crazy, and I journeyed, and I needed to go for a walk. And thankfully, it was warm enough for us to go. It was a little rainy, so we took the umbrella, and we started off on a little journey, pun intended, or through the neighborhood. And as we were going, we hold hands. And as we were going, she doesn't realize it, but it's my love for her that will lead her on a safe path, on a good path. We're going to go see some things as we walk through the neighborhood today. It was my strength that would guide her past the dangers we would face as we walk through the neighborhood. There's been some construction on the corners of our neighborhood where they're replacing the sidewalks. They're putting in some handicap accessible ramps in there. And so there's pits all throughout our neighborhood now on the sidewalk. So we have to navigate out into the street or up through somebody's yard. It's a little muddy. And Journey doesn't always want to go the way that I want her to go. But by the strength of my right hand, I can pull her and navigate her to go where we need to go, doing it out of love. I'll lead the way. And ultimately, though she may disagree with me as we walk through the neighborhood, Dad's plan is going to prevail. She is not going to win this battle. If she wants to go down this other street, sorry, we're going to go the way Dad wants to go. And I will, out of love and strength, my plan will prevail, as will I'll bring her home, bring her safely to the place where I need her to be. And that's exactly what happened. We made it back safely. If I can do this in my limited resources as a father, as a finite father, how much more will our loving, strong, and faithful Father lead and guide us through this crisis? How much more? How much more able, capable, loving, strong, wise, how much more is our Heavenly Father able to do that than we are for our own kids? How do I know that this is true? How do I know that God's plan will prevail? Well, it brings us to the final verse that I'd like for us to touch on today. It's verse 18. Hopefully you recognize this verse. I've closed the first 11 sermons of Exodus by saying this verse. Verse 18, the Lord reigns forever and ever. That's how I know that God's plan will prevail. God rules and reigns. He has reigned from eternity past. He will reign in eternity future, and he reigns in every moment in between, including this one. He governs the universe with love and justice. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is Lord of all. Every knee will bow before him. This God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, this God, he reigns forever and ever. And there's great relief in knowing that, especially if he's your God. And so my question for us this morning is he your God? Is he your Lord? Have you repented ever of your sins against him and received him as Lord of your life, as Savior? Have you turned from your sins and turned to God, to Jesus? That's the question for us this morning. Have you rejected him or have you received him? I'm telling you, if you've rejected him, if God is still your enemy, you can ask Pharaoh. That is not going to turn out well for you. God is loving and kind and fair, and he invites all to come to know him. He has given us a way to be reconciled with himself, and that way is Jesus. So don't reject him, receive him. As we read at the beginning of our service today, he is the only way of salvation. There's no other name in which we must be saved. And for those of us who are in Christ, who are resting in him, we can continue to look for his power to be unleashed, for his enemies to be defeated, and for his glory to be revealed. In this time of crisis, it's important that we continue to trust in his love, that we rest in his strength, and that we rely on his plan to prevail. Why? Because the Lord reigns forever and ever. This was Moses. This was his song. And I pray that this would be our song as well. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Amen.